This year at Monroe, we are using this book, Seeking God's Face, as a guide, a daily guide. In it, there are readings, as many of you know. There are prayers that we are all praying together. There's readings that we're all doing together. And we're going to turn our attention to God's Word this morning. And the passage that we're going to be focusing on is actually the reading for this coming Wednesday. Right? It's in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. If you would need a Bible, there's a Bible on a table right back there. You can stand up and go get one right now. But John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're in the season of Epiphany, the season of light, the season of ahas. The season where we realize new things. The season where God reveals Himself to us in new and fresh ways. The season where we open up our hearts and our souls to receive that new revelation. That new revelation. So as we turn our attention to God's Word together this morning, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before you now. As we turn our attention to your word this morning, we open up our hearts, we open up our lives, we open up our souls and our minds to receive the aha moment that you have for us today. Lord, we open up our hearts and our lives to receive your grace and your truth and your teaching for us. Spirit of God, speak to us. Speak to us through your word this morning. We give this time to you and pray these things in our Jesus, our Savior's name. And everyone said, amen. So John chapter 4. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all the things that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I read certain stories in the scriptures, certain stories in the Bible, stories in my own life, experiences in my own life come to mind. The first story that immediately came to my mind when I read this story was when our neighbors came to us because they had been told by the doctors that their son, their young infant son's eyes were not developing correctly. They had gone to see the doctor for a checkup, and when he looked in his eyes, he realized that those eyes were not developing like they should. the doctor said, in fact, that he might grow up and become blind as a result. Well, as you can imagine, the parents, once they received this diagnosis, once they received this news, did not take it too readily or easily. It freaked them out. It freaked them out. They were anxious. They were worried. They were worried for their son who may not be able to see once he got to school. They were distraught and they were concerned and they didn't know what to do. They were distraught and concerned so much that they came and talked to us, the pastors who were living next door. Instinctively, when we found out about this, we began to pray. We began to pray for him. We began to pray for healing. We prayed and we prayed until the next checkup was to happen. Why did we pray? We prayed because, as we have been learning through our readings and seeking God's face during this season of Epiphany, we prayed because Jesus has the power and the authority to heal. He has the power and the authority to control the winds and the waves. He has the power and the authority to forgive sins. So we prayed. When our neighbor let us know about their son and his eyes, we prayed. We prayed for healing. We did the same thing this past Wednesday morning as well, when our Megan, on her way to the school bus, slipped and fell. It was vertical and horizontal in the flash of a second. Fell on her arm and on her shoulder and wasn't able to get up on her own. Amy calls me a few moments later and says, "Henry, you have to come home. Megan is down and I don't know what to do." When your daughter's arm is unable to move, right, and she is laying there in pain, what do? You begin to pray. You pray for healing. You begin to pray for protection. We prayed and we invited others to pray along with us. We prayed that our worst fears, right, that her collarbone, or that her shoulder, or that her elbow, right, were not broken. We prayed that she wouldn't lose the ability to use that arm. We're reading Seeking God's Face together, aren't we? And in these stories that we've been reading these past few weeks, we've been reading similar stories about people who come to Jesus for healing. Take this past Friday's reading, for example, when a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years sought out Jesus. She went to him. She came to him for healing. Or Thursday's reading, when Jesus cast demons out of a man who needed to be healed from the demons within. Or Tuesday's reading, when Jesus raised from the dead the only son of the widow of Nain. We see the same thing in our text for this morning, for today in John 4. We see a royal official come from Capernaum seeking out Jesus. Why? Because of what he's heard. You see, the royal official, he's heard about this man, Jesus. The word is out. The royal official has heard about the signs and the wonders and the miracles that this man, Jesus, is doing. The word about this man, Jesus, is beginning to spread throughout the region, throughout the area. So when the official hears that Jesus is back in the region of Galilee, that he is fairly close by once again, what does he do? He puts on his coat and he heads out the door. And he makes the trek from Capernaum to Canaan, where he hears that Jesus is. The 15-mile-plus uphill trek from Capernaum to Canaan. Do you remember Capernaum? That city by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, 600 or some odd feet below sea level. Right? He begins that trek uphill all the way to Canaan to seek him out. he goes to Canaan to seek him out because he wants Jesus to come back with him to do something for his son before he dies. The official seeks. The official begs. The official pleads with Jesus to come back with him. Why? Because he's desperate. His little one, right? His son is lying sick in bed, close to death. In his desperation, the royal official makes this journey. When he finds Jesus, what does he do? He commands him. He says, "You, come down with me. Come down with me back to Capernaum where my son is. Come with me before he dies." Tell me, have you ever been in a desperate situation? Have you ever been in a desperate situation like this? When you've longed for something different to occur, but you didn't have the power to change the circumstances. If you're a parent out there, we as parents, we often find ourselves in situations like this, don't we? Children seem to enhance desperation from time to time, don't they? When they're sick or when they're hurting, we want nothing more than for that sickness and that pain to go away. What desperate situation are you in right now? This morning? What situation do you need healed? What situation do you need repaired? What would you like Jesus to come and to heal in your heart and in your life right now? The royal official in our story, I'm sure he's used to getting what he wants. I'm sure he's used to making commands and having people follow his orders. He says, come, they come. He says, go, they go. In the midst of the royal official's desperation, Jesus makes an interesting statement. Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will definitely not believe. Why does Jesus say this? What's going on here? The official wants Jesus to come and do a miracle in his presence. He wants to see with his own eyes that Jesus can heal his son. He wants to control the situation like he's used to doing. But Jesus knows that the official doesn't really believe he can heal. He knows that the official hasn't really given the situation fully over to God yet, fully trusting in his power and his authority to do what is best in the situation. So Jesus responds in a way that will offer the official a chance to grow in his faith, to grow in his trust of God's power and authority. Jesus says this because in the midst of his desperation, in the midst of his despair, Jesus desires that he grow in his faith. Jesus desires to have him not only have his son healed, but allow him to see what else is happening around him, what God is doing in his midst, but also in the region. All throughout Galilee. Jesus says this to the official, and he says this to the people of Galilee. He says this to the people here at MCC because miracles are pointless unless they point us to who Christ is. Jesus says this because miracles are pointless unless they help us see God, unless they help us see what He is doing. Gary Burge, in his commentary on these verses in John 4, reminds us that the attitude of the Galileans is the issue here. The Galileans, of whom the royal official is one, they just simply want miracles. But they don't want to see what God is doing. They want the miracles. They want the wonders. They want the sound in the light show. But do they want Jesus? Do they want the person of Jesus? Do they want the Messiah? Do they want the Son of God? Do they want the Savior? Do they want the Redeemer? Jesus, as we know from our readings, performs miracles and signs often. And what is a sign? It's an unusual occurrence that transcends the common course of nature. A sign is the miracle and wonder by which God authenticates the man either sent by Him or by which men prove that the cause they are pleading is God. A miracle authenticates what God is doing. A miracle allows us to see God's power and His authority. A miracle enables the light to go on, to see that God is at work. A sign, Burge says, reveals God, makes it plain. And the purpose of that sign is to help us see, to help us believe, to help us understand. And Jesus knows that in order for this royal official to see and to believe, something else is needed. So in this story, we see Jesus' compassion. We see Jesus' compassion for that little boy who lay sick. We see His compassion in healing him from a distance of 15 plus miles. But we also see Jesus' compassion for the official who stands before Him in desperation and despair. We see Jesus' compassion for him. We see His compassion and His desire for the official to also be able to see and to know that something greater is at work here. We see Jesus' compassion in the way He answers the royal official's command to come and to provide healing. What does Jesus say? He says, go. He commands him to go. Your son will live. Instead of answering exactly like the official requested, Jesus places himself between the request and the healing, so that the official had to act in faith. Instead of walking home with the official, Jesus made the official walk home without the thing he wanted most right then. He places himself in between, which requires the official to decide. To decide if he's going to trust this man Jesus. By placing himself in between, the official has to decide. Will I trust him? Jesus forces and enables the man to grow in his faith. His faith in this person. This person of Jesus. Imagine with me that father standing in front of Jesus, desperate for his sick child at home to be healed. He was sure that he could command Jesus to come and to fix that situation. But Jesus instead tells him to turn around and to go back home. Alone. To go alone, but to go with a promise. A promise that his son will live. He had to decide. Would he trust in Jesus and in his promises? Did he really believe that Jesus had the power and the authority to heal his son, even if he was not present? And then what do we read? What do we read in the text? The text tells us that the man what? He took him at his word. The man took Jesus at his word and he departed. This was the beginning of a step of faith. This was his outward behavior of his belief in Jesus and his promises. He turned home and he walked without Jesus. He turned home and he walked with a promise. What must he have been thinking? What do you think he was thinking as he walked that first mile, that second mile, that third mile downhill back to Capernaum. I imagine he was thinking like you and me, who often second guess ourselves about whether or not we should trust Jesus, whether or not we should put our faith in Him. He's probably second guessing himself about whether or not he should have made Jesus come with him. Maybe a little anger in there too for Jesus not coming to heal his boy. But that promise kept ringing in his ears. Go, your son will live. Go, your son will live. And so he wrestled with that promise and with that hope. And then on his way home, the official has what? He has his aha moment. After the official took Jesus at his word, after he put his faith in the words of Jesus, what do we read? We read that while he was still on his way, his servants met him. They met him with the news that his boy was still living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So what was the result? The result was that he and his whole household believed. He and his whole household believed in Jesus. Believed in who he was. They saw. They saw who he was. Burge reminds us that although miracles were a natural part of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is more than a miracle worker. He's more than just a miracle worker. Because of this, Jesus is looking for men and women who not only believe in his ability to work in a miracle, but who especially believe in him. Witnessing and experiencing a miracle does not automatically mean that someone will have faith in Jesus. I know of all kinds of people who have witnessed and received their wonder, have received their miracle, but they did not receive Jesus. They did not realize that it was Him working all along. But the fact is, if we really consider it, we are all witnesses. You and me, we all witness. We all receive miracles in our lifetime. But how often don't we fail to see them as works of God that are meant to increase our faith? William Hendricks, in his commentary on these verses, reminds us that through this encounter with the official, Jesus transformed his faith. Jesus transformed his faith from a mere belief in Christ as a miracle working power to a faith into the Word, right, the promises of Jesus. And finally, to a faith in the person, the Son of God, the person of Jesus Christ. The wonders and the miracles of God become signs when they enable you and me to see, when they enable you and me to believe, when they help you and me put our faith in Him. By not giving the official exactly what he wanted, when he wanted it, the official was able to realize something greater. The official was able to realize who Jesus really is. What's your desperate situation this morning? What do you long for Jesus to heal today? What does faith in the person of Jesus Christ look like in the midst of that situation? People of God, the good news in this story is that not only did Jesus grant physical healing to the official son, to his little one, but he granted spiritual healing to the official as well. through this healing, through this miracle, through this sign, the glory of Jesus Christ was revealed. So tell me, when we pray for others who are in desperate circumstances, what is our prayer? Is our prayer simply for a miracle? Is it simply for a wonder? Do we only pray that their circumstances would change? Or do we pray for a sign? Do we pray that the glory of the Lord would be revealed? That Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, would be revealed to them, into their heart, into their life? Do we pray that the people involved would also see and believe and grow in their faith? That they would receive Jesus? Do we pray for that as well? How about us? How about us when we find ourselves in desperate circumstances? When we find ourselves in difficult situations? What is our desire and our prayer? Do we seek only a miracle? Do we seek a wonder? Do we seek that those circumstances would change? Or do we also seek Jesus, the Son of God? Do we seek Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, the one who can transform our faith? To end this morning, I want us to spend some time in prayer. All of us have circumstances that we would like different. Some of them may be more desperate than others. Some of them maybe bring us more to a greater degree of despair than others. But we all have them. We all have those places in our lives where we would like to see Jesus at work, where we would like to see Him heal, where we would like to see Him restore. What's our prayer this morning? What's our prayer for those places? I invite you to spend some time right now. I invite you to sit in God's presence as you think about those places, as you think about those situations. And I invite you to invite the power and the authority of Jesus I invite you to call upon the authority that He has to heal, to forgive, to mend. Where are those places? Where are those situations? I invite you to call upon your God this morning. I invite you to cry out to Him. Where do you need His healing? Where do you need His power? Where do you need a miracle? Most importantly, where do you need Him? Where do you need Him? Father, as we pray this morning, as we lift up these situations where healing needs to occur, these situations that are close to our heart, hear us as we open up our hearts and our lives to You. Lord, we come before You because You have the power and the authority to heal. You have the power and the authority to change circumstances, to mend, to renew, to restore. Lord, we come before You. We cry out to You to increase our faith,
not only to change circumstances, but to change our hearts. Enable us here this morning to see you. Enable us here this morning to trust you. Grow and strengthen our faith. Shine a light in those dark and difficult places. Shine your light in our hearts and in our souls this morning. Healing, Lord, we are sick. We are in trouble. And because of that, we want you near. We long for and we wonder how your hand will heal and your power will overcome the trouble that is before us. In the midst of that trouble, enable us to trust in you like the royal official, that your word will heal and that your power is not limited by time or space. In times of desperation, in times of anxiety, in times of fear, transform and grow our faith in you, Jesus Christ. Enable us to know that you are always near. Enable us to know that you are always near. We pray these things in Jesus, our Savior's name, and everyone said, Amen.